Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on the way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now, the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thanks be to you, Don, for that reading. I just love the way you read, Don. You always bring the scriptures to life so beautifully. Thank you. We're continuing our sermon series on the Acts of the Apostles, which, as you'll remember, started back in April this year when Colin Brooks preached on Acts chapter 2, which was about Peter's transformation from denial to boldness. And we will see as we go through the book, which we're about halfway through now, that it's full of people being transformed in various ways. The book of Acts is unique in the New Testament because it's the only book which is a historical narrative. It relates the events which took place from Jesus' ascension in the year 30 AD right the way through to Paul's imprisonment in Rome in approximately 60 AD. And the journey that Paul and Barnabas made to Cyprus, which Don has just read to us, that took place roughly halfway between those dates, in approximately 45 AD. Now, just to let you know where we're going this morning, I'm hoping to bring out 4 points from that passage in Acts 13. The first point I want to make is that Paul and Barnabas's journey to Cyprus was inspired by the Holy Spirit rather than being planned by themselves. And then secondly, I'll go on to say that the encounter between the Apostle Paul and the sorcerer Elymas was more than an encounter between two men. It was actually a dramatic power struggle between the Holy Spirit and the devil. Thirdly, I will say that the temporary blindness which Paul pronounced on Elymas was not Paul's own judgment. Rather, it was God's judgment on Elymas, but Paul was God's spokesperson. And then the fourth and really most important point right at the end will be that the effect of all this on the Roman proconsul Sergius Paulus was that he became a believer in Jesus. In fact, he became one of the very first Gentile converts. Most of the previous converts to Christianity had been Jewish. So that's where we're going in the next 25 minutes or so. Let's start by looking at the first point, that Paul and Barnabas' journey was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That journey which Paul and Barnabas made from Antioch to Cyprus was a great and significant step for the Christian church. I'm sure you remember those words which the risen Lord Jesus spoke to his apostles immediately before his ascension. The words which are recorded right at the beginning of this book in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus told his apostles, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, up till now, the events that we've read about in the first 12 chapters of Acts were all about the first two phases, about the apostles being Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, and about the apostles being Jesus' witnesses in all Judea and Samaria. But in today's passage, in Acts 13, the apostles shift up a gear. And for the first time, they start to become Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that's a decision which they took very clearly under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So let's have a look now at the journey which Paul and Barnabas made. This was in the mid-40s AD, at which time Antioch in Syria had become the second major center of Christianity in the world, second only to Jerusalem. Verse 1 of the passage that Don read referred to the church at Antioch. But actually at that time, there was no purpose-built church building. There was certainly no solar house then. The early Christians met in small house churches, or indeed they met in the synagogue, because the early church arose out of the Jewish synagogue. And at that time, Antioch had a population of 500,000 people, similar in size to the city of Sheffield today, and among them were 25,000 Jews. And it was among that Jewish population that the early church in Antioch was concentrated. The population of Antioch was multicultural and multilingual, and that diversity was reflected in the church leadership. Don read out in verse 1 of the passage a list of the five prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch. But actually, not one of them was a native of Antioch. They were all outsiders who'd been sent to Antioch to build up the church. Barnabas himself was from the island of Cyprus. Both Simeon and Lucius were from Cyrene, the capital of Libya. Manaen was from Caesarea, which is on the west coast of Judea. And Saul, whom we know better as Paul, he came from Tarsus in Asia Minor. Verse 2 of the passage tells us that Barnabas and Paul were given clear and specific instructions by the Holy Spirit, and that it was the church who received those instructions whilst they were fasting. This is what verse 2 says. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And it was just as true then in 45 AD as it is today in 2015 AD that we Christians are especially sensitive to communications from the Holy Spirit while we're fasting. Roz was talking to us then about the Go and Grow project, and I'm sure you will have heard our vicar, Henry, tell us from this very platform of the many prophetic words which he and other church members received about this move to Solar House while they were praying and fasting. We then read in verse 4 of our passage, Barnabas and Saul were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. It was very clearly a call that Barnabas and Saul received from the Holy Spirit to go to Antioch. And interestingly, their call was in many ways very similar to the call of Abraham that we read about in Genesis chapter 12. You will remember that in Genesis 12 verse 1, God sent to Abraham, or Abram as he was called then, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. So the call to Abraham to go was a very clear call from God. And yet neither the destination nor the job that he was expected to do was made clear to him. And yet in faith, Abraham went. And as we know, Abraham's journey to the promised land proved to be of fundamental importance for the future of the Jewish people. 2,000 years later, Barnabas and Saul got an equally vague call. The Holy Spirit told them they had to go, but it wasn't made clear to them where they were going or why. And as we'll see, their call was equally as important to God's people as was the call of Abraham 2,000 years earlier. So where did Paul and Barnabas go? Well, you can see on the map, they went overland from Antioch to Seleucia, which is a seaport 16 miles southwest of Antioch. And then they took the 60-mile voyage by boat to the island of Cyprus. And we're not told why they chose Cyprus. It could well have been because Barnabas himself was a native of Cyprus. Or it could equally have been that Paul decided to make a follow-up visit to the church that he'd already planted among the Jews in Cyprus, which is mentioned in Acts 11, verse 19. Whatever it was that was in Paul and Barnabas' minds, we know that it was the Holy Spirit who decided they must go to Cyprus. When they arrived at Cyprus, they landed at Salamis, which is a seaport on the east of the island, very close to the modern-day town of Famagusta. And there they visited the Jewish synagogue, because it was always Paul's model of evangelism to speak to the Jews first, before moving on to the Gentiles. And he writes about that in his letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So that's my first point, that it was the Holy Spirit that called Paul and Barnabas to go to Cyprus. Now let's move on to the second point, because the Holy Spirit sent Paul and Barnabas to Cyprus for a reason. And the reason was that Paul and Barnabas were destined to have a dramatic power encounter on the island of Cyprus. And we're going to hear about that shortly. Having visited the synagogue at Salamis on the east coast of Cyprus, Paul and Barnabas, little suspecting what was in store for them, made their way than 90 miles across the island to Paphos on the west coast. And in those days, Paphos was the capital of Cyprus. Though, of course, today, the capital of Cyprus is Nicosia, which is in the middle of the island. At that time, Cyprus was a province of Rome, and it was governed by a proconsul, or governor. And the proconsul was appointed by the Roman emperor, and he represented the emperor in Cyprus. And the name of the proconsul was Sergius Paulus. Here's a sculpture of him, rather an ugly-looking brute. But nevertheless, a very important man in Christian history. Barnabas and Saul actually had two God-ordained meetings when they arrived in Paphos on the west of Cyprus. One was with Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, and the second, which we're going to come to in a minute, was with the sorcerer, whose name was Bar-Jesus, and that means son of Jesus, not referring to our Jesus Christ, but Jesus was quite a popular Jewish name then. His real name was Bar-Jesus, but he was also called Elymas, which means sorcerer. Anyway, we'll come to him in a minute. We can see from verse 7 of our passage that the Holy Spirit had been working on the heart of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. This is what verse 7 says. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. Now, Sergius Paulus was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, but he'd quite clearly become aware of the work which Saul and Barnabas were doing on his island, and he sent for them. He wanted to hear the word of God. So quite clearly he was already inquiring in his mind about the Christian faith. And Helen mentioned earlier that we have a number of visitors with us today. And I think it's very likely that some among you are also inquiring in your minds about the Christian faith. I really do hope there are many of you here this morning like Sergius Paulus who want to hear the word of the Lord. Though I have to say none of you is as ugly as Sergius Paulus. But maybe you're thinking, Sergius Paulus sent for Barnabas and Saul. Who can I send for to tell me more about the word of God? Well, if that's what you're thinking, there are two things you can do. One is you can come up for prayer from Ros and Jonathan's prayer team at the end of the service. And if you tell the person who's praying for you that you want to know more about Jesus, they'll put you in touch with one of our clergy. We're really blessed. We've got five clergy at this church. Helen is one of them, but we've got Henry, Colin, Mike, David, and who's the fifth one? Helen! Yes! Sorry, I'd already mentioned Helen. Sorry. You got double mention there, Helen. All right. Anyway, that's one way to go about it. Come up for prayer and ask to be put in touch with one of the clergy. Or the other thing you can do is to attend the Alpha course, which we're going to be running here at St. Barnabas on Tuesday evenings, starting on October the 6th. So if you'd be interested on coming on an Alpha course, I think I mentioned when Kennedy was interviewing me that it was the Alpha course which totally transformed my life. And if you're up for that, then please pick up one of these red leaflets which are in the arch at the back of church. And I just want to highlight three people now. I'm going to ask them each to wave. At the back is Shirley. Thank you. And next to her is our duty manager, Elizabeth. Thank you. And in the front here is Kennedy. And Kennedy, Shirley and Elizabeth will be in the arch at the end. And do please ask them for one of these leaflets if like Sergius Paulus, you want to know more about the word of the Lord. And please fill in your details on the tear-off slip and give it back to Kennedy or Shirley or Elizabeth, and they will make sure it gets passed on to the Reverend Mike Pavlou, who's leading the Alpha course here. Sergius Paulus, however, didn't have an Alpha course to go to, and he didn't have a Mike Pavlou to go to. But he did have Paul and Barnabas, who had been sent to Antioch, from Antioch to Cyprus by the Holy Spirit. Paul and Barnabas obeyed the Holy Spirit's call. They went to Cyprus, and there they met Sergius Paulus. And as we read in verse 12 of our scripture passage, they were able to teach him about the Lord. Now, as I mentioned just now, Sergius Paulus was not the only person whom the Holy Spirit had arranged for Paul and Barnabas to meet on Cyprus. The second person was the sorcerer called Bar-Jesus, also known as Elymas. In verse 6 of our scripture passage, Elymas is described as a Jewish sorcerer, which, to be honest, sounds to me a bit like a contradiction in terms, because devout Jews were strictly opposed to the art of sorcery, regarding it as a form of witchcraft. Moses very clearly told the Jews in Leviticus 19, verse 26, "Do not practice divination or sorcery." And yet Elymas claimed to be a Jewish sorcerer, a contradiction in terms. But as we'll soon see, he was far from being a devout Jew. And in fact, Paul denounced him very clearly for his deceitfulness and trickery. This is what verses 6 to 8 of our passage from Acts 13 say. Paul and Barnabas met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Paul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that's what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Now, we're going to see in a minute a picture of the Apostle Paul confronting the sorcerer, Elymas. That's Paul wearing green on the left, and that's Elymas the sorcerer, the hoodie, wearing a blue hood on the right. And our church Bibles tell us in verse 10 exactly what Paul was saying to Elymas at that point. He was saying, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right." But you know, I've just recently been given this Bible. I think I mentioned I was licensed as a lay reader by the Bishop of Edmonton last year. And Bishop, lovely, lovely Bishop Peter, just before he retired, gave me this Bible. It's one of my most treasured possessions. And this is the Revised English Bible, which is an updated version of what some of us remember from the 1960s as the New English Bible. This is the updated version of the New English Bible. And I want to read you what Paul was actually saying in that picture, because it's so beautifully translated here. In verse 10, Paul in green is saying to Elymas in blue, "You are a swindler, an out and out fraud. You son of the devil, an enemy of all goodness. Will you never stop perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" So our Paul certainly didn't mince words. And it was then that the dramatic power encounter between the Holy Spirit and the devil took place. And we read what happens in verse 11. We've got a picture of it coming up in a moment. Paul, again, he's in the background there, but he's wearing green. And you can see the Roman proconsul hiding in the background there. But right in the front, we've got our hoodie, Elymas, wearing blue. And Paul says to Elymas, you are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. And it's so interesting how God works. I've experienced it time and time again in my life, and I'm sure you have, that history repeats itself in a very telling and significant way. Exactly 10 years earlier, in 35 AD, Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus when he met Jesus. Jesus had already died and ascended, but Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus in 35 AD, and he was blinded, just as happened to Elymas 10 years later. Verse 11 tells us, immediately mist and darkness came over Elymas, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And that's exactly what had happened to Paul 10 years earlier. You can read in Acts 9, verse 8, that they had to lead Paul by the hand into Damascus. Now, I want to read you a quotation from the late John Stott. John Stott, as you know, was first of all the curate and then later the rector of All Souls Langham Place, known as the BBC Church, because it's right opposite the BBC headquarters. And he was curate and rector there from 1945 to 1975. And John Stott died just 4 years ago at the age of 90. And this is what he wrote about this incident in his book, The Message of Acts. This was a dramatic power encounter in which the Holy Spirit overthrew the evil one. The Apostle Paul confounded the sorcerer, and the gospel triumphed over the occult, or the sorcery. So that's really my second point, the fact that this was a dramatic power struggle between the Holy Spirit and the devil. So let's move on now to the third and penultimate point. This judgment was God's judgment on Elymas. It was not Paul's judgment, and I really do want to stress that. This scripture in Acts 11 is not, I repeat, it's not authorizing us as Christians to go around putting curses on our enemies. It's not authorizing us to go around blinding people. That is so clear from verse 11, when Paul is very careful with his words. What Paul says in verse 11 is, he says to Elymas, the hand of the Lord is against you. Paul is not saying, I am against you. Paul was not doing this in his own strength. It was God who was doing it. All Paul was doing was announcing God's judgment on Elymas. He was not calling down God's judgment, because it's not our place to do that. God makes the judgment, but God chose Paul to announce that judgment. And verse 9 tells us, Saul, who was also called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's because he was filled with the Holy Spirit that he was able to be the mouthpiece for the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's the very reason that the Holy Spirit sent Paul and Barnabas on that 60-mile voyage to Cyprus. And now I'm going to end with my fourth point, which, as I said before, is really the most important one. Sergius Paulus was the Roman governor of the island of Cyprus. He was a Gentile. And yet, just like many of you here this morning, he was an inquirer about the Christian faith. And he wanted to hear the word of the Lord. He'd heard what Paul and Barnabas were doing on his island. He'd heard that they'd travelled 90 miles on foot from Salamis on the east coast of Cyprus to Paphos, the capital on the west coast, preaching along the way. And Sergius Paulus was keen to hear the message that they were preaching. But Sergius Paulus got more than he expected. Not only did he hear Paul and Barnabas preach the message, but he saw with his very eyes. You saw him in that previous slide, peeping out at the back, watching what was going on. With his very eyes, he saw the power of the Holy Spirit. The sorcerer Elymas had opposed Paul and Barnabas and had tried to turn Sergius Paulus from the faith, but the Holy Spirit was too strong to be beaten by the evil spirits represented by the sorcerer. The Holy Spirit used Paul's mouth to proclaim God's judgment on Elymas, and immediately Elymas was blinded. And then we read in verse 12, when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. And that is my fourth and final point, that what Sergius Paulus saw with his own eyes triggered his conversion. And in fact, it wasn't just Sergius Paulus' conversion that was triggered then. It was the third stage of the commission that Jesus had given the apostles in Acts 1, verse 8. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Sergius Paulus became one of the very first Gentile converts to Christianity. The first of millions of us. Acts 13, verse 12 says, Sergius Paulus was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. And it's very cleverly worded. He was amazed at the teaching about the Lord, because the teaching took two forms. It wasn't only what he heard from Paul and Barnabas. It was what Sergius Paulus saw with his own eyes happening to the sorcerer Elymas. But I told you how much I treasure my present from Bishop Peter, the Revised English Bible. And I want to close by reading you that verse 12, which I think is translated so beautifully in the Revised English Bible. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, deeply impressed by what he learnt about the Lord. And I like those words, deeply impressed. It's okay to be amazed at the teaching about the Lord, but amazement is something that is there for the moment and then goes. But how much better to say that Sergius Paulus was deeply impressed by our Lord. I'm deeply impressed by him, and my hope is that you are too. Amen. Mm-hmm.